The Sentai Review, episode 141, Turbo Review 2. Oh, we're live? Okay, that's fine. Okay, what's
up? I'll just trim it when I finalize
This is Wednesday. Here we are, Sentai. It is finally time, as promised, to talk about these Power Ranger
Turbos.
And, this has been rough. Not gonna lie to you. This one was, okay, the first 15 episodes, I got through them easy. And I didn't expect to. I thought I would be shitting on this show real early.
That's the odd thing. It's like, it was different for me because I thought these would be harder. But it was easier because I mostly knocked out most of them within one day.
Really? See, this one took me a while. And I'll talk about a lot of the things. There's a lot to talk about. How am I trying to put this? This is going to be interesting. Because while I have a lot to say, I think the episodes overall were terrible. But they gave me a lot of things to think about.
Yeah, they gave some more plot details.
Yes.
And actually, the weird thing is more, I guess, important episodes this time around.
This is true. And I think the importance of the episodes, here's the thing. I don't think these are important episodes. I think the characters are new, so everything we see from them becomes important. Because, like, we spent a lot of time with Jason and them. We spent a lot of time with Tommy. We spent a lot of time with, you know, the different characters, Billy and whatnot. Yeah. So after a while, these became filler episodes, and we didn't think anything of it. Yes, we know Trini's afraid of heights, and yada yada, and so, and yada yada. You could say all these things, because we've seen them through the fillers. Then after a while, these became character tropes, and they were just fillers. Well, the one thing about bringing in a new team that helps change Turbo is that everything we see for these characters is new, even in crappy filler episodes. Because we don't know anything about these guys. We don't know if TJ's a good leader.
Yeah.
We don't know if they know martial arts. We don't know if they're actually going to hang at the juice bar. We don't know if they're going to be involved in all the extracurricular school activities. Like, we know nothing about these kids. You know what I mean?
Well we kind of do when we first see them in action. Ish.
Yeah, but that's what I'm getting at about filler episodes, is that I'm telling you, almost all of these episodes are throwaway episodes, but since you're seeing these characters for the first time, it changes the aspect. Like, we'll get into it as we go. Look, William Bush, Reploid Bill.
Scott Action Jackson, and Contact.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone.
Okay, we are rolling.
Okay. First off, we go 16 and 17. Honey, I Shrunk the Rangers, Part 1 and 2. This is, technically speaking, the very last adventure of our Rangers. Because passing the torch doesn't count, because passing the torch, they didn't do anything.
It has a bit with in the beginning. So
passing the torch, they didn't do anything. We'll talk about it. I'm telling you, in passing the torch, a car blew up, Tommy got hung from a rope, and new Rangers showed up.
But I mean, this is their last major.
This is the last thing they actually did.
As
they got face-to-face with Divatox. It was interesting. I liked the idea of being shrunk down and how they were mutating and they were running out of time.
Yeah, they were turning into insects.
And they might very well not be... There was a level of interest in this episode's that kept this event nice. It helped it stand out from the other garbage.
Yeah, I know this is probably going to come out.
Except for one thing.
Justin not getting shrunk?
No. they rode the torpedoes.
Yeah.
Now, while this isn't, this idea is somewhat legitimate,
it's an interesting idea.
Here's the thing. When they fire the torpedoes in the water, can you imagine the amount of water pressure pushing against them while they try to cling to a torpedo, a smooth surface torpedo?
Especially with their buggy hands.
And then right after the water, they escape out of the water into the wind, and the wind was nearly knocking them off the torpedo.
Yeah.
So how did they survive the trip through the water? Because that would be way worse than the air pressure.
Well, not only that, but surviving the trip and the explosion at that size.
And also, how did they guarantee the exact air? This comes down to don't view that plot hole. But how did they guess exactly where the torpedoes would hit to be able to take the Manhunter over there?
Do you really need to see that plot hole?
Exactly. Exactly.
Since we don't have a Zordon, we have Demetrios instead with her
so
questions
dumb.
And stuff. But yeah, there's one line that I remember in the second part that I was like,
why?
Okay, team, let's split up. You're in a fucking box.
Oh, I do remember that. They did, dude, I said that. I actually said that exactly. What you just said when they were like, Tommy's
you're
like, all right, guys, let's split up. And I was like, you're in a square box.
You're in a small square box.
I was like, what are you going to split up to do? Why don't you all just check a corner? Like, the command that was given, I get it. I think that they were trying to be clever. Like, you guys go search that corner of the box. We'll search this corner of the box. But the way he said it just sounded
like, okay,
stupid.
Everyone check a corner.
Yeah. All right, guys, let's split up. And I was like, we can, look, this is a
this
single room.
This is Scooby-Doo here.
It's worse than that. This is like, we're sitting in the living room. And I'm like, all right, guys, let's split up. What does that even fucking mean? Like, you go sit in the chair, I'll sit on the couch? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, man.
Dude, when I heard that line, it's funny that you're bringing it up because it kind of got pushed out of my mind, but I remember saying, you're in a box. Like, I was like, what the fuck are you going to do?
What the hell were the writers thinking here?
There was a straight-up fucking Freddy Krueger moment in this episode when Divatox used her tongue to try to lick the Rangers when they were under that thing.
Yeah, under that little council thing.
What
in
the
sub.
Crap? Oh, and by the way, Divatox, as I said, this is her story. I can't believe I never realized this before. This is her origin, her building power, her gaining empire. Because in the next episode, we'll see another part of her legacy that helps push her forward.
Actually, I was going to say that's a little further down where she
No, the very next episode, because they'll introduce her mom and we'll finally know where all her money and power
came
from.
Oh, yeah, that part, never mind. I thought I meant the other space thing.
But one of the things that's interesting about her is that it's around this episode that you start figuring out her scientist is just now starting to make monsters. But even so, throughout the course of these episodes, they don't always say, I made this. Sometimes they explicitly say, I made this.
One episode, he does actually just make it from
he makes it out of
a
box.
Yeah.
Yes. But I will say this. You notice the monsters when he specifically claims he made them, they're really bad. But when he says, I've got someone for you, or I've got just the monster in mind.
Yeah, we're used to them just bringing in a monster that's being hired on because of the last stuff.
And this is still happening because there's no guarantee he's making every monster. He still often will say, I made this, or he will leave that part out and he will say, I've got just the guy. Well, I've got just the guy means he hires somebody. And she still talks to some of the monsters in a way that presents itself as these are monsters being hired. Because some of them will be like, I'm at your service or whatever. And she'd be like, well, if you could do the job, then you're hired and stuff like that.
I was going to say, it's kind of awkward when you have to call in two monsters when one gets sucked in through a magnet. But
that was awesome, by the way.
that was exactly
what I was talking about. That was one he made.
Oh, yeah. You should probably make one without a...
He specifically says, I made one perfect for this situation. And like an idiot, because they don't know, because they've never dealt with this crap and they're bad villains right now, this monster walks out and he's made of metal to deal with a magnet and he gets sucked out into the stratosphere and he's dead as shit. And the guy's like, oh, that was really stupid, wasn't I? But there's another guy here, because he doesn't say he makes this one. He just calls another monster that happened to be there.
You know, the weird thing is, there's quite a bit more laughs in these next 15 episodes.
Yes. But yes, this is fine. This is a fine episode, but we'll not linger on it unless... Well,
I think there's one thing we should bring up towards the end. Vulcan Skull, no longer chimps, but invisible.
Was that in this episode?
Because the missile cured
their chimpism, which, how does that work? This missile has two, torpedo.
I wrote it down as torpedo residue.
Torpedo can do two things. It can cause monsters to grow. Three things. We don't know the effects of torpedo.
We don't know the full effects of these torpedoes.
We don't know the full effects of torpedo. Torpedo so far, affirmed, can do three things. Four things. One, it can fix shrinking. So if you've been hit by a shrinking thing, it's actually an antidote. Two, it can grow monsters. Three, it can fix faulty programming. Remember? When they shrunk the Manhunter...
The Blue Centurion.
He actually malfunctioned, and his circuits went haywire.
I think that was happening because of the bug abilities that were growing in because of him getting shrunk.
Right, but then this cured him and fixed it.
Well, it also cured the Rangers from being bug-like,
But this is the reason I think it cures things. It is some sort of weird antidote because... When the residue hits Vulcan Skull, it cures their monkey radiation ray de-evolution thing that happened.
Yeah.
So that means if you're sick, just shoot a torpedo at thine self.
No, an interdimensional torpedo.
Well, it wasn't interdimensional. We don't know what these torpedoes are, but for some reason, torpedoes will cure ailments of magical, horrible properties.
Oh, boy.
And make you grow.
Right.
Passing the Torch is 18. Passing the Torch Part 2 is 19. This will solidify the new Rangers, in which we lose the girl, who I believe was meant to be the Pink Ranger, and she never comes back.
The dancer from that one episode.
Yep. Whatever happened behind the scenes, she never comes back. She is not the Pink Ranger. And we never get an explanation or a goodbye or anything as to what happened to that girl.
Apparently, so, as far as we know, she's still somewhere in Angel Grove.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or she wound up in a basement. Because we never see that girl again.
Actually, no, let's not blame this on Demetria. Alpha. The Jersey Alpha.
It's true that Jersey Alpha could be like, what are all these people doing down here, yo? And then they're like, we were back talking Zordon, or we know secrets. Somebody's down there like you can't keep us down here forever. We know who the Rangers are.
Say that. We might want to keep this door shut again.
Yeah, and then Alpha, like Jersey Alpha was like, so y'all being kept down here for a reason. And they're like, yeah, because Zordon's an evil tyrant. And he's like, yeah, I know all about it. And shuts the door with his evil Jersey laugh. Because he was made by the same manufacturers that created servants to assist Zordon, and he already knows what kind of monster that guy is. So he's putting people in the basement now.
Evil Jersey Alpha.
Sinister Jersey Alpha. Awesome. Now I feel like one of the shirts needs to be just the helmet piece of Alpha turned kind of crooked, and it should just say Sinister across the bottom of it.
Sinister. All right.
But this is a simple episode, but here's the thing.
It's simple, but it's not.
She's new. We know she's new, and she's not very qualified to do what she's doing. We figure out in this episode that the way she got her power and troops is she's feeding off of her family legacy. Mommy and some other members of family, not Daddy. Daddy may have actually been a good guy, like on Demetria's side, because his ass was thrown in whatever that pit of sorrow is.
The other family member we'll get to.
The mom is some sort of empress of pirates, and
she's sorceress person.
Yeah, she is accomplished. She is feared across the universe. Her daughter is a disappointment. She even says it.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. I think I remember hearing that in the first part or the second part. But.
Because as the information that we're given in this episode tells us that Demetria was a good person. Possibly the dad was a good person, so he got thrown in the pit thing.
That might be how Demetria got away.
And somehow, yeah, it could be something. Yeah, something like that could have happened. Now, at the same time, Divatox never became a successful pirate. She could not climb the ranks, and this is the very first time that she set out on her own, not piggybacking off of Mommy, to do something for herself. And that's the reason we keep seeing her learn. Well, Mommy shows up and she's like, oh, you're such an idiot. Look, who's the guy keeping them together? Who's the experienced guy?
Remove the leader.
Right. Remove the leader. Because
you're having a bad dream. Remove the leader. Oh, wait. It's, no, it's not.
It's kind of funny if you really think about it. But up until this time, Demetria has never focused on a specific person.
She was just more focused on revenge.
Yeah, she's just like, I'm going to blow these things up, high detonators, because that's the tactic I know, and I'm going to try to take out all the Rangers at the same time, all the time. She never once put it together like, okay, Zed would see something in one of the Rangers and be like, afraid of heights, huh? And he'd do something that or like when he got rid of the Green Ranger, the way he did that was he systematically attacked with just enough power to force the Green Ranger into battle, and then, when he knew the Green Ranger, he had that guy beat, what did he do? He separated the Rangers and forced the Green Ranger into a confrontation by himself, and yep, took his power. He's not an idiot. He didn't try to attack the group. He went after specific people trying to break them.
Now, the Rangers during this are, I guess, trying and having some kind of camp out or whatever.
They decided to go camping with a 12-year-old orphan. I don't know. Look, guys, I got crap for this a couple of times, but that's what he is. His dad is still not there. His dad was introduced in the episode with the bicycle.
Yeah.
So we know the dad is alive.
Around
but he
somewhere?
He did not claim Justin. Justin has not gone home. Justin is still with that orphanage.
But he's also going to high school.
Well, you can be in child services, yeah, and you might still have to take a bus to go to high school. Not orphans are not necessarily homeschooled. I mean, but it is just, it's very interesting that he's with some sort of child services. And child services does not demand that he go home at any time.
I kind of wonder if maybe the Rangers themselves are kind of part of that as
playing
well.
Maybe they sign him out like the Big Brother thing.
Maybe.
And it's possible, unless maybe, look, I noticed that he's with Tommy a lot. Is it possible he could be living there?
I don't know. I mean, once the Rangers change, then it's totally different. But
right, which makes this part even more confusing, because how is Justin always around? We know from the movie that he's part of a home.
Yeah.
So if he's part of a home, I don't know how that works. I've never been in one of those things, but I'm willing to assume that you can't just not go home. And oftentimes, he's just out roaming around doing whatever he wants to do, and I don't know how that works. I don't know if he's supposed to be checking in with home services or what.
Yeah, I mean,
or if home services is supposed to come get him after school.
We brought up the whole Big Brother thing, especially with graduated teenagers and stuff.
Now, I will say this. The Big Brother thing has been going on for many years because Trini and Kim were actually doing the Big Sister program.
Yeah.
They took that one girl for a while. I can't remember what her name was or anything like that, but there was an entire episode dedicated to her. And I think it was the dumb episode with the chicken with the scissors. And remember, she turns the shower on and all the boys get sprayed with the cold water and they run out of the bathroom. And then she's like mischievous and everything. And
I don't remember.
I remember because the little girl kind of creeped me out.
But,
we are introduced to TJ, Random Red Ranger. He comes out of nowhere, no backstory, no nothing, and random Pink Ranger.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Stone Canyon.
Yes.
The rival high school.
So these two characters are just simply thrown at us. The other Rangers, we've had a little bit of time to see them. We know Justin's sticking around.
Carlos and Ashley have been doing stuff.
And that's going to be green and yellow. So we know a little bit about their characters already. These two people just show up.
We kind of get thrown some tidbits.
We know that from this episode, we know that as soon as there was even the indication that somebody was in trouble,
TJ wanted to go in.
TJ left the bus and was like, I don't know what's happening over there, but I got to go. I got to go. I can't just walk away from somebody screaming out there. I got to go. So we know that TJ is the kind of guy that if he sees something going down, he's involved, period. But at the same time, while the Pink Ranger,
Cassie,
is not heartless, she is, however, cautious of her own affair.
Yeah.
Because she knows that if she leaves, she ain't getting back on the bus. And she doesn't know those people. But then she does have a slight association with TJ. Not very long, but enough just to know that he's a person. And it's that very small little... I think that Cassie's the kind of person that does this. If you're driving down the road, and you look to your left, and there's that guy with the homeless need money sign, and he's just standing there, you've never seen him, you don't know him, you could drive by. But if Cassie stops and that guy speaks out loud to her, he now becomes a real person. He's no longer out of sight, out of mind, and he's no longer, I don't know that, that's not my business. As soon as somebody becomes a person and steps out of that frame of mind where she can no longer pass them off as, I don't know that person. And it doesn't take much. All it took was for him to say, what's up? Hey, I see you're singing. Calm down a little bit. You're kind of irritating people. Where are you going? He held a conversation, one passing conversation. But because now he's running off and he might miss the bus and she knows there's something wrong over there, but she was willing to walk away from the screaming voice. Yeah. She was like, we got to get on the bus. That's not our problem. When TJ made it his problem and she knew TJ, she could not turn her back on the situation anymore because now it's real.
Because now he's more or less become a friend.
Well, I don't even know if it's that. I think it's exactly what it comes down to. Like, okay, if you're driving by a guy that has a sign that says, please give me money, you could drive right by. But when that guy comes up and puts his hand and says, please... Once he's spoken to you and it's in your face, it's a lot harder to ignore. I think she's that kind of person. Where if she was walking down the streets of Chicago and some guy was sitting there with a cup, she'd walk right by that guy. But the person that comes up and says, look, I know I feel like an ass just for doing this, but look, I'm just trying to get a cheeseburger. All I'm asking for is a dollar. She'll give that dollar away because now that guy is real and the problem is in her face. I think that's the kind of person we're looking at here. She can ignore it as long as it's not real in her frame of mind.
Now, also during these, I think mostly in the first part of the passing the torch, we get to see some of the movie creatures return.
Yeah, it did. I actually made note of that. I said, it only happens once in the entire series, but... evidently, they do come back. Because you'd wondered if they came back, and I said, to my knowledge, I don't remember ever seeing them again.
Yeah.
Well, here they are, one time.
Although they do look like they've changed a bit.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably budget.
Yeah. But,
it's probably a reuse of a costume, but not all the bells and whistles.
But for some reason, on this one, there's only two, and they're more effective than the movie versions were.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Because in the movie version... the last one standing was like, nope.
We capture Tommy. We hold him over a pit. And that pit also has Divatox's daddy in there.
Somehow.
Well, like I said, I bet you there was a weird...
We can't exactly hear somebody, you know, some notification from dad's like, oh...
I'll bet you there was a weird family split, and we'll never be given full details, but I'll bet you what happened was he probably didn't know that he was marrying some empress, and she probably married him. Whatever this pirate empress is, maybe she weaseled her way in, got in good, had two kids.
And he probably sent the other one away.
No, I think she had two kids, and I think the whole point was that she was... Okay, remember how Divatox was more than willing to flaunt her feminine wiles to climb the ladder?
Yeah.
I think that her mother, that's where she got it from. Her mom might have flaunted feminine wiles to the dad. Mm. And the dad might have been a high-class political figure. She gained political intrigue and secrets to things that she wanted. She, in the course of this time, she probably had two kids. One kid turned out goody-goody. The other kid kind of took after her mom. And when probably what happened is when she killed the father or threw him into the pit, she probably took Divatox and left, and Demetria was left to the household because the mom did not grab her. She probably grabbed one kid, killed the father, bolted. The one kid she grabbed was Divatox. That explains how the two kids were split. And that also explains why Daddy ends up in a pit. And it explains that Mommy was always a piece of garbage. And it would also tell us why Divatox learned the, you know, I could flaunt my stuff here and get what I want.
Hold on, let me check. Because I know I had something else wrote down. I had my own little summary for each episode. I think, okay, uglier pod creatures from the movie. TJ and Cass get to fight some Piranatrons with Cat. Oh, everyone start losing their keys.
Yes.
Yeah. Why?
Because that's an actual thing. They showed it to us in, like, the very in the movie, technically the first episode, they show us that those keys are not like our morphers.
Because in the movie itself, Justin
and the keys would be the keys would be way easier to lose. The morpher is a big, giant, heavy piece of equipment that looks like a giant cowboy belt buckle.
It's like, what? Aside from the movie, why hasn't this come up before?
It has. It's just not often. Up in the course of the movies, oftentimes they'll, like, maybe drop the key and go get it or something. But this was the first time that the monster was like, nope, because they were like, here's the key. We got to do our little dance and plug it in. And then he kicked them. Kicked it out of their hands.
It was
the fire guy.
Yeah, the fire monster that was set down to distract Justin, Adam, and 9 going on 14.
It's exactly the joke that we made all that time ago back when we were discussing Zio.
Like the coin falling out.
When we said...
Or stuff like
that.
Well,
we were talking about Zio. The funny thing about Zio is that you got to do this little dance in order to morph. And we were like, what if the monster punches you in the face? And you're like, stop it. Get off me. Somebody get this motherfucker off me. I got to morph.
Future Scott, insert Dragon Ball Z bridge, punch to Jace's face.
Like, that's what's happening here when, in order to do the morph, they have to do this dumb dance. And if they have to do that, morphing is way more difficult for them than it was for us. For us, we took the morpher from our back, pointed it forward, and said an animal, done.
Yeah.
And actually, it became even more easy for us during the ninja stuff, because in order to transform, all we did was literally, like, in the movie we see it, they say, the crane, they're ninja. They just close their hand. The crane! And it just goes, two! And they're in that ninja suit. It's ninja time. Pew!
But then again, I think when we get to in space, the number thing is a lot quicker than the normal Zio and...
It is, but I would still say that that's some sort
slow,
of ridiculous
still.
Because you still have to stop, click the thing, open your deal, tap 335, hit enter... And if anybody was like, if you're surrounded by putties that are grabbing at your wrist.
Yeah, if you're surrounded, which that kind of happens on another future episode here. But
and that's not to say that morphers haven't had their drawbacks, too, because remember, Goldar was able to just take Jason's morpher.
Yeah.
And Kimberly almost died when her morpher was stolen out of her backpack by Cat.
Let's see. During the second part, the Rangers have an ultimate mission.
What? Oh, no, no. See, this is where things get weird. This gets really weird.
Hopefully the Rangers get back in time for their ultimate mission.
Well, here's the thing. They knew. I think that's what the camping trip was about.
To try and figure out?
I think they were supposed to go there, sit at the fire, have a night, talk to each other, and discuss who's taking their places. They were all starting to get jobs. They were all starting to move into the real world. They were all starting to talk about it's time to leave this life behind. And it had already been told to them that as you move to this next step in your life, you need to entrust these powers to somebody else. We don't like somebody, and here's the thing, they don't like the idea of somebody holding the powers for too long. And there could be many, many different reasons for this. Could be the idea of power corrupting or something like that, or getting too old and dying in the fight, getting a chance to actually live real life.
With the way the Zeo powers were described,
right,
that would have been overkill on the power.
So the idea is to pass the powers on, and I think that's what the camping trip was about. But then I asked you an easy question, or difficult question, actually, when I think about it. No, I'm serious. They were going to go out, sit down, figure out who's going to take their place. We already know that there's a Yellow Ranger and a Green Ranger.
Yeah, we already had those two established. I think with that one episode, we kind of had a possibility for a pink one there.
So maybe, had this been left to fate, and Divatox had not interfered, Dancing Girl would have became the Pink Ranger.
Maybe.
But, who was going to be the Red? So far we have three. Right?
Yeah.
And we know Justin's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So who was Tommy? Who in the episodes that we have seen so far could he have possibly looked at and said, I think I'm going to give it to this person? Because as I see right now, we have never been given a storyline that justifies the passing of the Red Power Ranger power until this episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing I could have seen is if they went back to his brother.
Right, because
that's the only thing I could have seen.
Because even though we make the jokes and say what we say, in storyline continuity, his brother is still somewhere.
Yeah.
In the basement, my guess.
At this point.
Because he never shows back up.
Yeah.
And I realize that the actor, from what I've been told, the actor did die and everything, but storyline-wise continuity, Trini's not dead. You get what I'm getting at?
Yeah, that the character isn't dead. But
yeah, the character's not dead. In fact, they reference at different times, like in comic books and different things like that, that she's over there. And they've even went and seen her.
Yeah, in the comic books with the pink line, it was Kimberly and Trini helping each other out. So
yeah, we know that these characters are they're not dead. So if we dismiss our joke of the basement, David is still out there somewhere. He might have been a Red Ranger choice. Yep. Maybe. Otherwise, I got nothing.
Yeah, I mean, when we get to another, in one of the episodes coming up here, another ranger that appears, it's like, oh yeah, here's another one who they could have thrown somebody else in as.
So this episode, yes, it's very important, and I honestly think this could have been the movie.
Yeah,
I really do. I think
passing the torch could have been the actual movie, along with the introduction to Divatox.
Yep. It is what it is. This is good, but that's the only thing that really got me was this guy TJ comes out of nowhere and his selfless action. Tommy sees it and says, "That guy's my Red Ranger." Well, okay, I get that, but we never seen TJ lead anything. This could have been a dangerous, stupid decision. What if this guy was a half-cocked, like, egotistical, fly-off-the-handle,
like
save
Carlos
the day?
Was.
Yeah. Because Carlos wouldn't hesitate to run in, be the hero, and save him. But that doesn't mean that Carlos deserves the red power.
Yeah.
But it works out in the end, yes, because Power Rangers, but it is interesting.
But I had down with the replacement rave show... With the rave show that they had, Zordon and R-Alpha return.
Yes.
To watch this stuff happen. And prior to this, we had a big old game of peekaboo hide-and-seek with the replacement Rangers seeing their future selves, their powers. It's like they were in the Angel Grove Youth Center, and it's like, oh, look, the Yellow Ranger's outside the window. It's like,
well, I think, what? Yeah, I think what was going on was exactly what I was saying. I think that they all went to check out who they were thinking of.
But, and then when Justin's like, what am I, chop liver?
Might as well be.
Dude, that almost irritated me, that part right there. I'm like, are you pissed off that you thought that you were passing the powers on already, or did you just want acknowledgement? Like, that was a very childish, stupid fucking moment, because that right there, okay, Justin literally almost gets offended when he sees everybody being acknowledged as new Power Rangers, and he's like, excuse me, I'm still here, and we're like, yeah, that's really good for you, but believe it or not, this is not your moment. They are the new guys. Just like you were the new guy, now they are the new guys, and oh my God, Justin is the experienced ranger now. We have left the fate of the world to a group of newbies. That's not to say the original rangers weren't newbies. Everybody starts somewhere. Yeah. But now the experienced member of a war, an intergalactic war, making decisions on a daily basis that can affect the outcome of the entire galaxy, rests on the shoulders of an experienced 12-year-old helping the other guys adapt.
Yeah.
He barely even knows how his penis works yet. And he is the best hope, most experienced ranger in the fight against evil.
I also laughed at the last line that Demetrius said. The Power Ranger legacy lives on, barely, with this series.
Yes. Let's see. We are on Stitch Witchery.
Yeah. Divatox has a witch-like monster that creates jackets to make people angry.
So dumb. Oh, yeah. Here's... Okay, the only thing we could say here... I'm not going to get too far into this. Character trope we are given. Ashley is a fashionista. She likes fashion.
Yeah, she likes fashion and is trying to get into it.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. We know a little bit of her character now. We can move on. Next is the Wheel of Fate.
Oh, this. I got to bring up something about this
episode.
Go ahead. The two special vehicles, we've seen one of them already. We've seen the red car, especially during the bicycle episode. Tommy was riding that thing to grab Justin off the bike.
I thought he was riding his car.
No.
No, he wasn't.
No.
Crappy editing decision.
Yeah. The fuck?
So anyways, these cars were made by somebody millions of years ago and hidden in meteors alive.
I'm guessing this is more Aquanian technology, since...
Who knows? I wouldn't say it's theirs, because the cars can do nothing for them.
Yeah.
But I will say this, this episode shows us the first showcasings of TJ.
Yeah, with him trying to struggle to calm or tame the red car.
He's the kind of person that sees a challenge, he doesn't run from it, he doesn't plan it. How do I put this? Okay, before Go, we enjoyed the Teen Titans. Robin is the kind of leader... The Tim Drake Robin that we were given in that show is the kind of guy that jumps off a building and figures out how to survive on the way down. He's very much a skater kid, a parkour runner. He runs, he jumps, on his way down, he'll figure it out.
Yep.
He doesn't plan, he does. That's the kind of leader TJ is. TJ's the kind of guy that saw an obstacle and he said, I'm going for it. He didn't ask for advice. He didn't wonder what the outcomes were. He didn't plan ahead.
He just ran at it. On this, it's like, we need your help. You might know where the other vehicle went.
But that's the thing about him. And that this actually comes into question later on. This is both interesting and a character flaw. Because this problem of leaping without looking will come back to bite him in the ass in the series of episodes we're talking about. And the other Rangers are going to bring it up.
Oh.
Trouble by the Slice.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
This is the one of the more infamous ones that get brought up in Forever Red.
Baked into a pizza.
Yeah.
I'm also going to say that, okay, this episode is stupid. But I will say that this episode showcases something that I was talking about.
Which part?
The Blue Centurion, the Manhunter, his gun is stronger than our gun. Our gun is talking about beep, 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 and yeah. It kind of hurts bad guys. His gun blew a guy away. He walks in there, sees this dude making pizza, says, step away. That guy says no. He takes his gun out and he's like, dee, 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 dee. And that guy just blows the shit up and falls all over the place and gives him more than enough time to walk over and open the oven and grab the... You know,
oh, and to shoot the pizza to cut the Rangers out.
Right. And then the bad guy comes back and he's like, hey, you get away from that pizza. And he's like, man, shut the fuck up. And he shoots him again. Beep, beep, beep. Fucking my gun, bitch.
You know, when I saw the monster approaching the pizza saying, I'm going to eat these Rangers. I'm like, I wouldn't mind taking a bite at some of the female Rangers here. But
oh, my God.
That's a different kind of eating. But
he shoots this guy twice.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting. Everybody else that would have shot that gun, the guy would have been like, beep, and he would have fell over and got back up. It doesn't do what his gun does. His gun stopped this guy in his tracks for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
Two shots. Sit the fuck down. I'm doing something.
But another thing that, one odd thing that happens in this is Divatox.
Yes.
Divatox somehow loses her memory after getting teleported away and almost has a close run-in with some of the Rangers without her memory.
Yeah, the whole memory loss thing, so dumb. 23, Phantom Phenomenon.
And this is where we meet the Phantom Ranger with his predator cloaking.
Two things to bring up. Okay, a couple of things to bring up. Nothing too big. One, Phantom Ranger costume, pay attention to it.
Yeah, there's something I want to say about it in another episode coming up. But
okay. Two, spaceship.
Yep.
There's a reason I'm bringing this up. Cloak technology, spaceship, look at his costume. I'll get into it when we get there. I really will. I've got something to say about him. Are we done with this?
I think so.
Any note?
Besides from the kids... bullshitting, not telling anyone about the spaceship.
That comes down to the integrity of keeping promises you've kept, and Justin did do that, even though he really should have had the sense to say some promises we don't keep.
Especially dealing with intergalactic beings.
Yes.
And him being a Ranger.
24, Vanishing Act.
Oh, the stuff going invisible and vanishing that way.
25, when time freezes over. I liked this more than turning the clock backward to make Rangers kids. It seemed more feasible that all she was interested in doing was making this one plan work, and she had infinite tries. That was her idea. She was like, launch the missile. The missile didn't work. Rewind to the point where we were about to launch the missile because I'm going to change my plan. Okay, make this thing. We're going to put it in the center of the Earth, and we're going to freeze the planet.
The cave. To me, when I first saw the cave that the device was in,
yeah,
I was like, isn't this Master Rider's cave?
Oh, I don't know. but really, this I liked this for one reason. It was interesting that she was not an idiot. She wasn't going to rewind time, go back before the Rangers and do what we've already done. She's like, I just want this one plan to work. So whenever it fails, we're going to rewind time and I'm going to try it again.
Actually, she said that she wanted to rewind time back again to the missile exploding again.
That's exactly what I mean.
To do because the Rangers showed up.
Right, but that's what I mean. That's what she does a couple of times. Yeah. She launches the missile, it doesn't work. So now she knows what that is. She goes in and she says, Rewind time to that point. I'm going to stop from launching the missile. She stops and she takes that thing with her. She tries something else. It screws up, so she rewinds time again to try again. The Rangers end up beating her in the long run, but this was smart because her idea was, I'm going to make one plan work. I'm going to have infinite tries. Every time it fails, I'm going to go back to the moment it failed, and I'm going to stop that failure and try something else.
You know, the weird thing with the way that this episode turned out, it's like, it might have been a little easier if it was just a Groundhog's Day episode.
No, I actually think this was really, really nice because she has control over trying again. It shows her competence level. Because it's easy to say villains are incompetent, but this one was really smart. You try to launch the missile, the Rangers show up and shoot the missile out of the sky. Well, you know that doesn't work, but you know you still need the material that was in the missile.
Yep.
So you rewind to that part, you take that material, you put it in this cave, you try to freeze over the world, you figure out that that's not quite working, so you decide, let's try again.
Especially once the time person touches the thing.
Right, but it's just, it's true that things blow up in her face, but this is smart.
Yeah.
It's not your stupid, everyday... Every other villain would have done the same fucking thing. I'll go back to before the Rangers, and then they'll send a Ranger back in time and revert the whole fucking thing. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I think it was at the end of Passing the Torch. Bulk and Skull are back. Fully back.
They come back, and now the reason I'm not talking about them or giving a shit at all is because now they're just going to jump job to job to job to job as comedy relief. And anything that we ever tried to do with Bulk and Skull is pretty much deleted.
Yeah. They're just more comedy acts now.
Yeah, they show up, they do something stupid, they go away, and they're less important than they have ever been.
Yeah.
We are on 26, The Darkest Day.
The Darkest Day. I kind of have an issue with this.
Why?
Because this technically should be like a four-parter or something like that.
Why?
With these episodes, because they're actually interconnecting with each other, with Divatox's brother, helping out Divatox.
Okay, now this is something that's interesting. This is, like I said, this is an origin story. I'm telling you, this is her origin story. Her brother shows up. She gets a new base, a field of operations, a powerful ally.
And an evil Zord.
Yes, well, that's her brother's, but yes. But this is interesting. Her power is growing. She's developing. She's making more command decisions.
Oh.
She's listening to what's happening around her, and she's learning from her mistakes.
And something else.
One thing she's figured out. She's figured out that on the planet, she's experiencing a form of vulnerability. She requested this thing.
Over 100 years ago, or about 100 years ago.
She knew that at some point, sitting around in a sub was a stupid idea. She just didn't have any other options. And her brother's been working on it for a long time, and now he shows up and he's like, hey, I've got this thing. And she's like, well, that's great, because I'm dealing with these fucking Ranger things. And he's like, I noticed that, and I've been working on that in my spare time as well.
And I'm also working on a few other things, but we'll get to those.
Her brother is a planner. He's a strategist. He's all about looking at what's going on, learning from the stupidity of other people and his own mistakes, and going forward from that point. He's not about bitching and whining and crying and stomping his feet.
So we get a bit of King Mondo.
Yes. And this is interesting because you could see these little things in Divatox. Divatox, from episode 1 to this point, has become more competent as time has gone on.
And the movie Divatox returns at this point.
Yes, she shows up in episode 25.
Yeah, in this Darkest Day is when we get the movie Divatox back, and the other one goes to just being Demetria.
Yes. What is interesting is that this also ties into the dynamics of family. Whether you like it or not, you're like your brother, you're like your sister, you're like your mom. Like, these are people that influence you, and even if it drives you crazy, there are things about those people that you have.
Yep.
And you might be able to bury them from time to time, but they're there.
They're family. That's
she has it. Irritation with her brother.
Yeah.
But her brother is a strategist. He learns from his confrontations. And if you look at Divatox, she's been doing that.
She's been learning.
Now, at the same time, you could tell that her mom, in the very small time we've seen her mom is one of those villains that very obviously kicks her feet and cries and whines. And Divatox does that. But it's the combination of both of these people that makes Divatox a full realized person and character because she has tropes from both her family members.
I don't think Divatox quite cries as much as we normally are used to with like a Rita Repulsa, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because there is part of her brother there.
Yeah.
And there is part of her mother there. And that creates an irritable person that is learning. And that's dangerous. And holy shit, will we see the level of danger that that really presents when we get to 44 and 45.
Yeah. And during this darkest day, General Havoc more or less beats the Rangers.
This is awesome.
And takes the Turbo Megazord.
This is awesome. This is what I mean about strategy. I think that he's been watching. He knows about the spin out. He knows about their attacks. He knows about the streamlined Megazord. And he knows that it's designed to fight a specific way. So he built a Zord that was designed specifically to fight against that specific way. It's like boxing matches. Before you go into a match, you watch the guy that you're going to fight, and you watch him religiously till you know how he fights.
Now, I think the Blue Centurion with his Zord did show up and fight in here, but
after this, he never comes back. Okay, so in the episodes that we have left to review, I don't see him anywhere. And that was actually pissing me off. I was like, where did he go?
Yeah, I kind of wonder that too. It's like, from this point forward, it's more
but
or less
I do have a theory.
Phantom,
I do have a theory.
Ranger.
If we don't see him again, and I don't know this for sure.
Oh, I know that he comes back with the Phantom Ranger in space, so.
Well, no, okay. So for the rest of this series, do you think he's gone? Because I have a theory.
I don't know.
Let's say he's gone. And when we get there, if we're reviewing, we'll correct ourselves.
Yeah.
But I have a theory that could fix this. Once again, going back to Green Lantern.
I was
going to
say, you should also bring up your theory about...
I will.
Okay.
We're getting to him.
Okay.
What's very interesting is, what is the Blue Centurion?
Well, I know you said it yourself. He's like a manhunter. He's a cop.
He's a cop.
Yeah.
You just did it. You know what
he's
sucks?
A RoboCop.
You know what sucks about being a cop?
What?
This is a real thing. You know why people flee to Mexico? Because I can't do shit about it. That's legitimate. My jurisdiction ends at a certain point.
Mm.
And if your ass goes across the border, I now have to communicate with the cops on the other side to get jurisdictions and things like that. And I have to get permissions and things to follow you across border and do my job and retrieve vicious serial killer man. Well, this is kind of crazy, but Divatox might have screwed the Blue Centurion by going to space.
But then again, he came from space.
But so. He was given orders for Earth.
Yeah.
While she was on Earth.
Mm.
So maybe the very idea that she left Earth because he is a cop, maybe he had to leave to get his orders amended.
Yeah, to get
because she
to
is no longer
any specifications and clause and stuff like that, because they do come back to Earth to battle. So.
Yes. So maybe because she left Earth, something changed in his jurisdictional rights, and he can't do anything about it. He probably went to get his stuff changed and get new orders so that he could deal with the change in situation.
Yeah, see if there's like any updates and changes in his...
So maybe that's why we lost him. And it would make perfect sense. He's a cop. He has to abide by certain rules that we don't. We're technically vigilantes. We just do what we feel is right when we feel it's right, because one day a floating head in a jar said, we can do this.
But at the end of this episode,
he steals their Megazord. And I would also point this out, too. Two things about this episode that were phenomenal. One, he brings with him a new set of putties they're not used to dealing with.
Oh, the design looks similar to the Shadow Rangers
kind of
episode.
Yes,
the one guy in the Shadow Rangers episode. But
so they bring these weird putty things. Okay, and here's what's very interesting about it: he changed what they were used to fighting against. He knew how to fight their Megazord, and you know what I said about how broke this Megazord is? You remember the little extra added information I put on top of its brokenness? This Zord is specifically designed for Rangers that know how to operate it. These Rangers are new. They don't know everything the Zord can do. They know that they've been studying the battle tactics of the guys that came before them, and those guys know exactly when to hit, how to hit, why to hit, and when to finish.
They've had a few battles.
But not enough to be experienced.
Yeah.
Passing knowledge. Knowledge and experience are two different things. Knowledge is obtained through the passing of powers. We know this.
Yeah.
But wisdom and experience are not.
Yeah,
they haven't done this for themselves. And the very first time they came across their own doomsday scenario, while they might have known about it, they've never experienced it, and they didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
So when their backs were against the wall, they failed.
Yeah, towards the end of the episode, TJ was kicking himself about it, and he's like, I should have seen it coming. No.
But he should have. Because somewhere in his mind, we've already said this, we know that experiences are past. But not wisdom. Not necessarily experience. Knowledge is past. He knows that the Rangers have dealt with this before. He knows that they've seen tougher times. And he knows that he failed a situation that the guys before him would have taken care of.
But also, during the ending of this episode,
they went straight for the kill. They said, we're broke as shit. Spin out. And that guy said, I've got something about that.
Nope.
And because of
and
that...
And he actually snaps the sword.
Yep. And when they lost their one move, the only move they really know, because they're not experienced.
Yeah.
They know about stuff. They haven't done stuff. So as soon as their one tactic fell to the floor, they were done. They didn't have anything else.
And they got tossed out of their Zord.
That is so cool that this also lends an idea to the rest of the series. These Rangers, the equipment that they've been given are for experienced Rangers. They are not that. And they fail with this heavy-duty equipment that the other Rangers were making. They were unbeatable. They were like, ah, shoot this cannon. Ah, combine these weapons. Ah, do this trick. These guys knew how to use that power because they've been there for so long. These guys don't.
Well, Justin kind of had a little more knowledge, but...
But not at the level of
yeah.
the guys who were operating
yeah.
the equipment. So that's why they're getting outclassed, and that's very interesting.
Yeah, but as I was trying to say... At the end of this episode, while they're moping about on a park bench, all of a sudden, the Phantom Ranger shows up and he's like, do not give up, Rangers. There is one last hope.
It's one last hope.
And he says, you have to wait.
Keep that in mind. Because I told you, I'm going to tell you who he is.
Yeah. And then he disappears into his Predator cloaking mode.
Yep.
And then we go to?
27. One last hope.
So, General Havoc once again attacks the city with his evil Zord.
Like you do.
Yeah. And the Rangers try to help evacuate people.
Because it's all they can do.
Yeah.
I like this because it shows that the Rangers, they're outclassed, they're outmatched, they're beat, they're shit on, they have no hope whatsoever, but you know what? This is what they said they would do. And the integrity of these new kids is shown to us when they say, we're going out there.
But then... The Phantom Ranger shows up, and he's like, Rangers, it's time.
Yes.
And they're like, what? We can't leave these people behind right now.
Remember, from space, new Zords, cars. He brought them in some sort of transportation module. A gigantic transportation module.
Yeah. Rangers finds themselves rescue Zords.
Yes.
Rescue car Zords.
Uh-huh.
Although, when I first read what they were called, I was like, is this light speed rescue vehicles?
Also, keep in mind that each one of these vehicles becomes its own battle Zord.
Yeah. Like the Shogun Zords were.
Yes.
And some of the, I think the second set of Zero ones were individual ones too. So.
We've actually seen this before that.
Yeah. Oh, the ninja ones.
The ninja ones.
But I find it weird that...
The Aquitar ones.
Justin's vehicle was a cop car.
Yes, it was.
It's funny, he's like, oh look, Blue Centurion must have loaned his vehicle. But yeah, you brought up Aquitar. I'm like, was this supposed to be Billy?
I think so. I'll go ahead and go into my point right now. I'll give you every piece of information that I think proves this is Billy.
Because I could see a few instances where the Blue Centurion could have been Billy, too.
Nope. I think this guy's never revealed. Yeah. He's Billy. And here's how I'm gonna try to prove it. I'll give you every piece of information I've picked up.
I heard another theory on him, but I'll tell that later.
This is what I say. Everything that I've taken has come from the show. Every piece of information. Billy is sick.
He had to go to Aquitar.
Billy, who we've already theorized, made the turbo powers. Billy understands Ranger powers.
Yeah.
Billy is on Aquitar. So if he got a set of Ranger powers to work, he's still faced with one major problem. Two problems. One, he's underwater.
Yeah.
Have you noticed his costume seems more airtight? I'm serious. Look at his helmet. I think it's a breathing apparatus. Yeah. He had to build that and test it on a planet of water. Two, he has a gem with healing properties that powers him. And if he loses it, he becomes very weak. You know who else is very weak? 90-year-old men who are tired and aging rapidly. So if the gem was to leave his possession, we can't see it happening, but wouldn't he begin to age?
Possible. If it was Billy.
Now, we don't guarantee that we can hear his voice. That helmet gives us the opportunity that it could be anybody under there.
Yeah.
He is purposely not jumping into heavy combat because that gem is keeping him alive. He came from space.
I always found it interesting when they asked him who he was, and he kept saying the old Superman line, a friend.
Yes. He doesn't know these new Rangers. But you notice he showed up to test them. He didn't show up to test his friends.
Because his friends were passed the powers on.
He shows up to see these new guys. And at first he shows up to do so incognito. He came from space. Billy's in space. When he brought new Zords, they were updates to the cars. What is Billy, if our theory stands true and Billy made the turbo powers, he made them from technology that existed that he understood. Cars, that's something from Earth. He knows that. He could work on it. These new Zords are cars. And you know what they came in? They came in a gigantic, probably spacefaring, carrying vehicle. Yeah. That is like a giant tower that decimates enemies. The pyramid is something he has seen, knows it works, and the pyramid carries all of the Zeozords inside of it.
And it does.
Since he knows that's something that's proven and works, why wouldn't he adapt it for the next set of Zords that he was working on? He just got done working with the Zeo powers. That's what he understands now. And since he was already adapting the Zeo power for this new power, and he knows that the Zeo original designs were meant to all collaborate in one carrying unit, he didn't know that when he built the first ones, because he was already working on them before he knew about the Zeo pyramid. Now these new set of guys come in. The new vehicles are carried in holding cells that combine together to form a giant carrying vehicle. He's from space. These vehicles, he did not say they were stored here. He blows up a wall that takes a lot more damage than a simple laser.
Yeah,
why?
Like six shots. So.
Maybe that wall is reinforced because he brought those things with him when he came here and hid them behind powerful structures. There's no reason to believe that a Ranger's gun will not shoot through a brick wall. So why did they need all six guns to blow through this wall?
I might have come up with a bit of a flaw.
Go ahead.
How much time difference has there been?
Between Billy being sick?
between Billy going old and going to ACOTAR, and at this point when the Phantom Ranger shows up.
Almost, maybe half a year.
So it would have been enough time.
If Billy was already working on the powers, because we theorized that he was working on the powers as early as 10 episodes into Zio.
Okay.
And because they're always working on something. Like, yeah. Remember how fast Billy built the Zio Zords?
Built the Zio Zords?
They claim that Billy built the Zio Zords. And if he really did that, he had, like, no time at all to do that. He did that in, like, a couple of months. So what's to say you give him another couple of months to work on new powers? And because he was at ACOTAR and they're already helping him, he already has the assistance of an entire science team over there that knows he's a Ranger.
And a lot of this technology is from ACOTAR.
And here's my last piece. Because right now he's in ACOTAR, and he's already lived through all these different situations and seen all this different stuff, you notice that each of the new cars becomes its own battle zord that then combines just like the gigantic Shogun Tower.
Yeah.
All of this is a little too coincidental to not be Billy. Billy is the Phantom Ranger. He never gets a chance to reveal himself, ever. And even though you could claim there's like a love thing going on between him and the Pink Ranger, that's not true.
Well, the
that's
Pink Ranger
only
has a crush
her.
On him.
That doesn't mean he has a crush on her. Perfect.
Because he has an obligation to help the Rangers.
Yes, exactly. And he never guaranteedly 100% actually gives us significant proof that he's interested in her.
Yeah.
All he gives us is he's here to help Rangers. And that happens to be the one that's talking to him. Now, she likes him. That doesn't mean he likes her.
Yeah.
But Billy is the Phantom Ranger. I'm positive. Also, there's another reason I can almost guarantee it. One of the actual producers of the series was asked 100%, who would you have made the Phantom Ranger since we never got to see who it was going to be? And he literally says, word for word, Billy I would Cranston. Have made it Billy Cranston. He says, that's what my idea was. There were a couple of other ideas in the works, but if he had had his way, he would have made it Billy.
I think the other one I heard might be one of them. Zordon's kid.
I'd heard that a lot, and then there was also something about that he would have been the embodiment of all past Rangers and
all
whatnot.
All old Rangers that happened before Mighty Morphin.
But the reason this gym makes me feel like it's easily Billy Cranston is because the gym, when one of the other Rangers gets hurt, what does he do? He takes it out, yeah. And he heals that person.
Yeah.
And right now, he's inflicted with a disease that ages him rapidly and is killing him. So he takes this gym, and he integrates it into a new suit. He has the Power Ranger suit, but what's to say that other stuff on top of the Ranger suit is not technology? Not Ranger suit. He might morph and become a Ranger and then put that stuff on.
Well, technically the only morphing we see
like
from
a battleizer.
From the Phantom Ranger is his cloaking. That's
right.
About all we see.
Now, why is he cloaked? Because not because he's hiding from the Rangers, because he's sick. He can't get too involved. He can't be the guy. He remembers the Green Ranger.
Yeah.
He can't be the guy that's out there on the front lines because if he is, he's going to get killed.
And his ship is only big enough to actually have one person lay in it.
Yes. He's Billy. I'm telling you, there's no doubt in my mind, Billy Cranston is the Phantom Ranger. 100%. I don't doubt it for a second. That's who he is.
But the Rangers get these new rescue Zords and defeat Havoc and his evil Zord.
Instead of whining like a bitch, what did he do?
He just went back to the base.
And he took apart the Megazord.
And he used the Turbo Megazord to help repair it.
He reverse engineered some of the stuff from that Megazord and said, well, this Megazord's broke as shit, and I'm broke as shit. Let's make something really broke as shit.
Yeah.
I love that he did not whine. He said, all right, okay, I lost. That was my fuck up. I didn't see this shit coming. But
it wasn't totally destroyed, though.
Yep. And because it wasn't, he said, Well, I know it works. And just like I built one to handle a specific fighting style, I'll just do that shit again.
But also, the technician, the whatever guy of Divatox's, finds info on the Phantom Ranger, especially his Power Ruby.
Now, why is this interesting? Why does this also feed into This Is Billy? Billy was working on Ranger powers before he left.
Now,
and maybe, just maybe, some of his notes were left behind in the Zord that he delivers to Zordon.
This kind of makes me curious about watching the original source, the Car Ranger, to see how this stuff actually plays out in that series.
Right, right.
Because I got a feeling I'd be kind of curious about that stuff on there.
If Billy made the Turbo Powers, and they weren't done when he left,
yeah,
he took the stuff with him. He finished it. He then delivered it to Zordon. And knowing that someday he might come back, he left information about himself for the Rangers, so they would know when he showed up, he was their friend. It was never meant to go to a bad guy.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be left for them. But you know what happened? None of the other Rangers were ever as smart as Billy.
Justin might have been.
But Justin was new.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Once again, we come down to knowledge and experience.
Yeah.
None of them bothered to ever look at the owner's manuals. You know why?
I think if only one person would have, it might have been Jersey Alpha.
But you know why they didn't? Because they already knew how to use it.
Yeah.
And the new guys coming in, they were given knowledge from the passing of morphing powers. And they just assumed that they knew everything there was to know. Because they have knowledge passed to them. They do not have experience. And there's other forms of interesting things that happen in the show that if you're watching the backgrounds, I can prove this as well. During off scenes, you will often see some of the Rangers like TJ and whatnot practicing martial arts. But none of them are martial arts enthusiasts.
Yeah.
You know why they're practicing?
To learn.
Yesterday, they didn't know martial arts.
I think they had to learn some because of their first experiences with the Piranatons.
They had instruction. But think about it. Today, you have some instruction. You know to throw punches. You know to throw kicks. You can handle yourself. But then tomorrow, you wake up, and for some reason, your mind is flooded with katas and Bruce Lee-level technique. What are you going to do?
Try and do the stuff.
I'm going to try to do the stuff. This also signifies the idea that knowledge is past, but not experience.
Yeah.
They wanted to go do these things because they've never experienced them. And it's that very idea that makes me believe that why would they check the manuals? None of them are tech savvy. None of them care.
I kind
of
wonder.
So Billy leaving behind stuff that says, hey, I might come back someday. This is what I might come back as. Be on the lookout. None of them knew who he was when they showed up because none of them bothered to read the manuals.
I kind of wonder something. If they gain that knowledge of the martial arts and stuff, and they get around to actually trying it out.
Oh, one more thing. The reason they wouldn't know it was Billy through the passing of knowledge is because he didn't have powers.
Yeah.
He can't pass the information of something he was doing because he didn't have powers when he was doing it.
The only time he remotely tried to get powers was the gold.
And he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
So that means that this is once again another reason that nobody would know who he is because he wasn't connected to the grid when he created this Ranger.
But with them gaining knowledge of martial arts and stuff and trying out, do you think that would help them try like a different take on it too?
What do you mean?
Like, it's like gaining Tommy's triple kick.
Exactly.
It's like, okay,
you could get all the ladies with that from what
yeah.
I hear.
But what if you're able to try to like increase the speed a little bit?
There's no reason to think they wouldn't, because TJ obviously has a different fighting style. And just because you learn the knowledge of other techniques, Bruce Lee, if you ever look into his Tao of Jeet Kune Do, one of the things he tries to teach you is that while one person may learn every fighting technique in the world, that doesn't mean one would use every fighting technique in the world.
Not exactly the same way.
The point of learning, and this is also, you can hear it from Yoda too, if you're more comfortable with this analogy, is to unlearn what you have learned. The point is that Bruce Lee learned fencing, boxing, taekwondo, karate, all kinds of different things. Crane style kung fu.
Actually,
but you know what he did? He took all of these things, like Wing Chun, and he said, none of it necessarily actually works. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to throw away everything that I've learned, and I'm going to reintegrate it into things that make sense to me for the way I'm built. One person fights different than I do, but I learned fencing. Most of his footwork came from fencing, not boxing, not Jeet Kune Do. And then, well, yeah, that's at the very end. But he didn't learn that from taekwondo. He didn't learn it from karate. Fencing is where most of his footwork came from, because he learned fencing is really good about moving in and moving out. And my whole point is to intercept the attacks that come at me. So it's true that every technique anybody ever learned, the point is to learn the technique, do it well, and then adapt it to the way it works for you as a person.
Yeah, I was going to say that
everybody fights differently, even if they learn the same thing.
That can kind of go into a training for professional wrestling as well, because you learn one thing and you can learn it again a different way as well.
Yes. So that is all fighting. That is 100% Bruce Lee philosophy right there. Is the idea is not to be bogged down by the things you learn, but to take the experiences of what you learned. Not necessarily the knowledge of what you've learned.
Yeah.
The knowledge that you have accumulated is meant to be forgotten so that you can flow freely.
And speaking of knowledge and flowing freely,
we are on Fall of the Phantom Ranger. That basically goes into the gym theory I was talking about.
Yeah,
he loses his gym, and because of that, he starts...
Cassie gets kidnapped to draw out the Phantom Ranger and to get the Power Ruby, which, at the end of it, Divatox still... has the ruby.
And what's he doing? He's laying in a bed. Because when you go from being 26 to 95, you're tired.
Yeah.
And they never say what's ailing him. They say he can't survive without that gym. They never exactly say why he can't survive without that gym, which leaves us open to the idea that maybe, just like Zordon, he's aging rapidly, and it's killing him.
Yeah, I know at the end of this episode...
Because they were keeping him alive on that weird life support thing.
Well, I was going to say that's in the next one, but towards the end of this one, we kind of have the Phantom Ranger trying to get towards his ship, doing some kind of like a Stardate recording or something, saying it's like, I've lost my power gem or power ruby. I don't know how much longer I can last.
Because he was aging.
Yeah.
And remember, he went in a single day, he went from like 29 to 56. So he may only have like literally 2 or 3 days of life without that gym, and he's dead.
Yeah.
The only reason he's alive is because he's laying in the command center, and you know what the command center has? It has technology that originally kept Zordon alive. So let's say Alpha, Jersey Alpha, actually did figure out that what's happening is he's aging. But he doesn't have to say, yeah, I want to tell you exactly what this guy's medical problem is. He might have just said, I've seen this before, and he hooked him up to that device so he can stop the aging, not fix it.
Yeah.
That was keeping him alive.
But anyway, the next episode, Clash of the Megazords. Which,
awesome.
Which TJ and Cassie find the Phantom Ranger just sitting next to the ship because...
Dying.
He couldn't make it to the ship.
Yep.
In which case, then they get him to the power chamber and then had to figure out a way to get the power gem, power ruby back. Although, Divatox does something interesting with this by using the power gem with the batteries to control the Turbo Megazord.
Yes, they create a type of remote control bypass.
Yeah.
And it's powered by that gem. And they hook it up to the Megazord, and that allows them, almost like in Star Trek when they say, transfer controls to this, That's kind of what they did here.
I was going to say, with as broke as the Turbo Megazord was originally, wouldn't this have made it even more broken?
Actually, no. It doesn't make it stronger because they're utilizing the power source to bypass the security protocols.
Okay, so it's just...
So they're not actually pulling energy from the gym for the Megazord, but in order to bypass its securities.
Okay.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The new Zords that Billy makes and brings us are still not actually good enough to take down that streamlined monster. It beats them. It did the spin out, and they fell back on that building and were just waiting to die. They had nothing.
Yeah, they were... Well, depends on which version that you hear and believe, but they claim that they were buying time.
But you could tell they weren't. Because they even say, because the kind of...
Yes,
kind
yes,
of,
yes, yes, we were
yeah,
buying
that's
time.
Exactly what was happening. Yeah, you're right, TJ. We were playing possum over here. That's bullshit. You guys were dead to rights. You were beat. TJ also, when he gets up, he says, I'm going to handle this. Do you know what they do? They're like, how about you tell us your fucking idea?
I kind of found that weird that happened that way because of Cassie, the Pink Ranger, being more wanting to be involved with the Phantom Ranger and helping.
Right, but the reason they want to know his idea comes back to the earlier episode, the Wheel of Fury. Because remember, I told you, he's the kind of guy that just does shit.
Yeah.
And I think they're starting to figure it out as time goes on. Hey, how about you tell us what the fuck you're about to do? Because we can't do anything for you if we don't know what it is that you're doing.
Well, didn't he at least say, you know, keep him busy or something like
that?
That's
all he said.
Okay.
But then they were like, well, hold on. How about you fucking inform us? Keep him busy takes us down in power. It's very obvious that the Megazord is almost impossible to control without all its members.
And that's another thing to bring up with the rescue Megazord thing. The main base looked like it was controlled by the Phantom Ranger.
Yeah.
Because he was sitting in that big old captain's chair. So it's like, okay, if that's missing from that base...
And you know what else kind of had a system like that? The pyramid.
Yeah.
It was a gigantic holding cell that transported all major Zords and properties with unbelievable firepower controlled by one central figure. Which, once again, feeds back to something Billy would know and understand. One step after another, after another, after another. The show was not built this way.
They're writing it this way to make it seem like Billy could be coming back.
But it's interesting that if you break this show down, even though it was never filmed with this in mind, there's an awful lot of retconning you can do that brings out the possibility that Billy was the Phantom Ranger. And these are Billy's Rangers.
But also during this episode of the Clash of the Megazords has the big magnetic tug of war.
Yeah, that one happened. We talked about that.
And it was funny.
I will say this. I like TJ. I will say I like TJ, but he's not necessarily a good leader.
Yeah.
He might be a dangerous leader. Because like I said, he's that guy that looks before he leaps. He just does something. And if he can figure it out on his way down, then great, guys. And if he can't, we're all dead.
Yeah.
Now, you can follow that guy to fame and glory, but motherfucker, if he goes down, he didn't have a backup plan. Your ass is going with him. And he did that to these Rangers. He just got up and said, I'm going over there. And then they were left to try to pilot this Megazord, and they lost that fucking fight because he did this.
Although he did succeed in getting... the power would be back.
But had he crashed and failed, they would have went with him. He's not necessarily a good leader. He's a cool leader, but that doesn't make him a good one. He's kind of dangerous.
Especially a guy who likes to brag about being cooked in a pizza.
Ugh. But yes, it was a really cool episode to see him go over there and fight the bad guy on the Megazord and, like, blast the batteries off, take the gem back. Like, it was a cool episode.
Yeah, and then at the end, they the Phantom Ranger is revived, and he leaves for now, saying, I'll be back if I'm needed.
If I'm needed. Because I can't actually be on the front lines. I'm sick. I came here to see if you guys could handle this situation. And he actually, he gave him those Zords, not because he wanted to, he had to.
Yeah.
The whole point was he came here to see how they would handle things. And then when things started looking bleak, he had no choice but to entrust them with what he had originally brought for his friends.
Yeah.
Last one.
The Robot Ranger.
Stupid.
It starts out with a...
I have one major problem with this.
Uh-oh.
I really ought to ask a question here.
Okay.
These robots are able to morph.
Yeah.
Here's my issue. If they morph, can the other ones not morph? If there's already a, if there's already Robot Red, can there be Human Red?
I think...
And I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I want to say no because of the whole cannot have too much of the
now,
power.
Now, why is this dangerous? Because the Robot Rangers were then sent back to Eltar.
To further help and figure stuff out.
Now, if Eltar comes under attack, what if Eltar is attacked and those Rangers morph and at the same time we are under attack?
Well, I know I heard an interesting theory about what happens, what could have happened to these Robot Rangers.
They could have been corrupted. Because Eltar does fall, doesn't it?
I don't know, but from what I heard, they could have been brought back for the Legendary War.
Why is that?
Because
I thought we saw TJ's face.
It wasn't TJ we saw, it was Cassie.
No, I think we saw TJ and Cassie. I think they helped somebody out of the elevator.
Huh. But I heard that there was a theory that these Robot Rangers came back...
I guess I'd watch it again, to be fair, to before I'd give a guarantee on that.
Came back to more or less resume their turbo powers, so...
Well, one way or another, we are now set with a group of Rangers that are immortal and are able to morph, and I don't know where they went necessarily, except for a vague, you know...
Yeah, back to Akortar to get a...
Eltar.
Eltar?
Yeah, evidently they came from Zordon and Alpha from Eltar.
I thought it was Akortar that they came from. Never mind.
Yeah, they came from Eltar.
Okay. Oh, yeah, they were using some of the technology from an Alpha...
Yes.
Okay.
So, okay, we got these robots. I don't know, something about this is really, really weird to me, because...
Well, it was weird how they were shown.
And what happens when the powers fail at the end of this series? What happens to the robots because they were somehow tied into the grid because they're able to morph? So then are they just robots now? And here's the thing. This is weird. This means that there's another TJ somewhere in the universe wandering around.
I was going to say, this also brings up the possibility that maybe it was the robot TJ in Forever Red 2.
Right. We don't know. This brings all kinds of problems to the table. Where did they go? Were they ever shut down? Have they ever been used again? Can they utilize the powers at the same time? If they utilize it, and we need it. What happens? Like, there's so many questions. This was terrible. This drove a hole in continuity so large.
Stop. Don't be... Oh, wait. We got too many plot holes. Go ahead. Look at the plot holes.
Are robots really so bad? Yes! Too many questions with the robots, damn it!
And it was awkward as fuck that the Justin robot...
Didn't know he was a robot.
Yeah, until towards the end. So it's like,
and here's the thing. Here's the thing that I have a problem with in terms of that. That's fine, but did you notice all they had to do was kind of move his shirt and he had gears and shit? Like, that Justin never, ever checks his shirt or anything? Like, sometimes I look down and see my shirt. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, concerning how many days pass in between the...
Yeah, he never got
episode?
Dressed? Like, what the fuck is happening here?
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Oh, and they have power stations in their lockers. Now, I have a problem with that, too, because obviously they need to charge, correct? And they've been on Earth long enough that they need to charge, which means Justin was charging at his locker without the memory or understanding that he was doing so at certain times.
Unless Justin was in his bed.
But he still, it still means he went somewhere. No, because that means they set up a weird power station in the home, which would be even more visible than the school. So that means there's a locker in the school somewhere where Robot Justin was charging like a fucking Borg, but he has no memory or recollection of ever needing to charge. But he does have the recollection of going home and sleeping at night. Or were they just letting his batteries die?
I don't know. I mean,
because it seemed like TJ had to charge.
I mean, considering that he was just a kid, maybe he didn't have as much power being used up as the adults.
I guess, but he is still a sentient robot.
Yeah.
So I don't know if size matters as to their, I don't know. This is fucked. This brings all kinds of fucking messed up, serious questions, like later on, when the Rangers run into trouble, why didn't they call the robots back?
Yeah.
Or now they have two Megazords. If they can all morph at the same time, why not bring those robots, have two sets of Turbo Rangers, one set in the Broken Zord, one set in the new Zord, plus the Alpha Centurion Badass, three fucking Megazords of get the fuck off my planet, bitch. Like, this causes problems, damn it.
Too many problems.
Maybe as we go through the series, we'll get some explanations, but I don't seem to recall ever hearing about these guys again.
Yeah.
And if this is a throwaway episode, that's fine to say it's a filler, but in terms of our show where we question these things, what the fuck happened here?
Yeah, especially where we could see where they could have come back in many spots.
Yes. And at the same time, if they ever corrupted...
Oh, shit.
There's a set of evil Rangers tied into the positive morphing grid somewhere. That's if that ever happened. And Eltar, I think, gets taken. I think it gets defeated. And if it's brought down and they are there, did they fight? Or did we screw them because we were using Mighty Morphin Power Ranger-y powers, and that means they can't because they can't morph? This is a fucking... I don't even want to do this.
I was going to say, unless they get, like, shut down and put into storage like that one Alpha did.
They could.
Yeah.
But then what kind of waste was this episode in general if they were actually testing something?
Yeah.
Robot Rangers are dumb. Ass!
So, 15 more episodes down.
Yes. The last one, I believe, is 17 episodes to cut through, right?
I thought it was just another 15.
Oh, it's another 15. Yeah, there's only 15 on here, so because there's 45 on here. So next, we will be covering 31 through 45. We're done here.
We're done.
Hey, guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.